neck so you could never talk again. Good thing she's such a lousy shot. She's an excellent shot. I told her she wasn't allowed to kill anyone. Who are you? Just for an instant, I changed my appearance. A dark cloak appeared around me, the hood pulled over my head, my face shadowed and indistinct. My fist, held near his face, glowed a white-hot-looking blue. He shuddered violently, and I turned it off. Death. Now be quiet, or I might decide to let Jen shoot you again. He whimpered for a moment and began begging for me not to do it. Fuck it, I said, stood, and walked back to Jen. Behind me, the man made a serious effort to talk, but no sound came out of his mouth. It never would again. 57. The process of separating pirates and slave owners from those here for the entertainment value took a while. With the remainder of the roaming security force also locked away in their own cells, Sasha and her team joined Tasha's, and Sasha took over the processing. There was one difficult moment when Jen recognized the man who'd been top bidder at her auction and tried to remove all his teeth. The doctor on duty at the nearest medical suite managed to save some of them. I gave Jen the look, and she, Jess, and Leah went back to the ship. She had work to do there anyway. Satisfied, Sasha had things under control, with the sergeant's team now roaming the station individually as a de facto security patrol, I found a nice, empty spot and moved myself back to the ship as well. We invited the mining company to take back their station, claimed their bounty, and suggested they bring both a security force and some system protection. It took them 2 days to arrive, by which time Jen was itching to be somewhere else. The rest of us were as well. Jen and Sasha met the company representative at the dock. Sasha passed security of the station over to her counterpart and took him for a tour of the detainees. Jen escorted the mining team to station management, and they took control of the station back. After some negotiations, the company paid the bounty being offered, plus bonuses, and assigned Jen a lawyer. She didn't understand why she needed a lawyer until he pointed out how many rewards were on offer for information about missing people, now identified to be here on the station or on the ships docked to it. Many of the rewards had clauses increasing the payout for safe return of the missing. I mainly slept and kept well out of everything. I'd done my bit and wasn't really interested in what else happened as a result. So, of course, when several men entered my living room and pointed guns at me, I was completely unprepared for it, but managed not to do something precipitate. They gathered Jen, Jess, Leah, and me at the airlock. Our hands were restrained behind our backs, but we could walk unhindered. We were taken to station security and put into an empty cell together. "What's going on?" Jess finally asked. We'd had no response to the same question from our captors, so I'm not sure why she expected one now. "Pretty obvious, I would have thought," said Jen bitterly. "No good deed goes unpunished," I suggested. She nodded. We waited until, at length, the same lawyer appeared. He chivied the guard out so he wouldn't be overheard. "Sector military ordered your arrest," he said. "Apparently they thought you were dead." He seemed to find it quite funny. "But, alas, someone recognized you when your message to us was sent on to them as part of requesting some system defense." "I knew suggesting that would be a bad idea," muttered Jess. "Military will be here tomorrow, apparently, and we've been ordered to keep you locked up until they arrive." "What about our Marines?" asked Jen. "Not in any trouble, and the word is someone was very happy to find they weren't dead." "Our funds?" asked Leah. All transactions have been finalized. Your funds are yours. If I come across any more you can claim, I'll drop those funds in your accounts. It's very likely investigations of the people here who had slaves will lead us to others. The wave you started here will ripple across our space like an unstoppable tidal wave, and given time, all slaves will be found and freed. Having started the process, at least part of every bounty or reward will flow back to you. As now, the mining company will pick up the tab for the legal bills. Not much use to us in a cell, muttered Jess. He grinned at her. We'll see about that. They better have their legal ducks all in a row, or we won't be handing you over. Of course, that assumes you're still here at the time. His grin widened. I looked daggers at Jess before she could mutter anything more, and she closed her mouth. It was more than obvious he expected our Marines to bust us out of here well before the military showed up. I'll take my leave of you now. The company is extremely happy with you, and should anything go unexpectedly bump in the night, no one is going to look very closely at it until morning. When things settle down, if you ever wish to work for us, we could use a good mercenary ship in the protection of our assets. You have my contact, if you need it. In spite of our payments to you, the company still owes you big time. So if you need anything we can provide in the future, please ask. Good day to you all. He left, and the guard didn't return. 58. I waited until the middle of the station night before jumping us back to the ship. Sasha and the troops were waiting for us. There was a short discussion, and we prepared to leave. Sasha requested the docking clamps be released, and when asked, told the station she'd assumed command of the ship on the request of the military, who were impounding it away from the station so we'd be unable to escape. The clamps were released, and Jen backed us away. Half an hour away, the station suffered a momentary power interruption, during which a key part of their long-range scanner array burned out. Done, I said. Jen changed course to take us well away from both the station and the jump point. The following morning, as I sat gazing out into space, Jess and Leah walked in. Tasha was doing her own space-gazing, but turned her attention to the girls. Thorn, said Jess, I think we found your home planet. I looked up and looked in her eyes to be sure she wasn't kidding. She wasn't. Where? Would you understand it if I showed you? Probably not. How, then? We found two references, said Leah. One was in the station mission logs, ordering a two-man ship on a recon mission. The other was on the logs of one of the smaller ships here, which indicated it had been on the recon mission. Recon? Is that what they call taking slaves now? The logs had nothing about taking slaves, said Jess. Both seem to suggest they're looking for a world to put a base on. They seem to think they'd found it. I sighed. That's just brilliant, I muttered. What? Asked Tasha. I find where home is, and pirates and slavers have taken it over. Just one of the smallest ships here is all they'd need. Reduce a town to slag, and the leaders would surrender the planet to them. They had nothing to fight back with? Asked Jess. Not as far as I know. Plenty of hurt making things available, but nothing which could get into orbit. And without being able to threaten a ship in orbit, the threat is all one way. Downwards. Well, if they have a few ships in orbit, said Tasha, we can take them on. And as long as they haven't landed more than a company's strength of troops, we can take them on as well, if we have to. What do you want to do, Thorn? Asked Jen from the doorway. 59. We jumped into where we thought my home system was a week later. I'd had to jump the ship out, and this time it was a lot longer jump since the jump point on both sides had military ships guarding it. They knew we were at large in the system somewhere, and eventually we'd be caught if all they did was keep us bottled up. I spent hours preparing for the jump, gathering energy from the sun, building until I thought I had more than enough. The jump itself was anticlimax, the ship dropping neatly into the jump lane to jump out on the other side of the next system. I was tired, but not excessively so. The others were amazed we'd jumped so far, but I played it down as having the time to prepare properly. In truth, I'd been amazed myself. After that, we simply kept out of everyone's way and headed towards my home. It was, after all, a direction no one was going to expect us to take, and they weren't looking for us yet anyway. All we had to do was not be recognized until we diverted off the main spaceways. Over the planet, we found two of the recon ships. But at the same time, we discovered the planet had no signs of intelligent life. There was no intelligent life there, I joked, but I steeled myself for finding this wasn't my home. The pirates attacked us while I was musing over possibilities. Without really thinking, I put up a force wall and rammed it back towards them, extinguishing missiles and then the ships. I thought someone who shall not be named didn't want to kill anyone else. Jen sounded a little bitter, but she still wasn't over the whole ordeal. I'd talked to Jess and Leah about getting her to a shrink again, and they were working on it. But in the meantime, shooting the auctioneer and beating up the high bidder hadn't been as cathartic for her as I'd hoped. I let it go. "What happened to the people down there?" I asked instead. "There's no evidence anyone ever lived there," said Jess. "This can't be your home planet." "Do we have a map of the continents yet?" "In progress." I watched as the sensors mapped the planet, but I knew. Eventually, I pointed to a small bay. That's where I lived. "There's nothing there," said Jen. "Your memory must be at fault." "I'm going down anyway." "Thorn." "Yes, Jen. I'm not waiting. If you go down, you stay there." Jess and Leah shot confused looks at her. "I understand." And I did. She was finally seeing me for what I really was, a threat to her position as captain. And in her damaged state, she couldn't see how wrong she was. "Give me 5 to get my stuff." She nodded, and I walked off. Behind me, raised voices indicated Jen's position wasn't acceptable to the others, but it was for me. Home was down there. I didn't understand the world up here, and I was a threat to it, a serious threat. If I stayed any longer, I'd be revealed for what I was. And when it happened, I'd be hunted, enslaved by governments, and forced to kill for them. I'd wanted to be a battle mage. I'd become a space mage, something more powerful than even the king could have imagined. And in that power was the seeds of my own destruction. For my own sake and those I'd come to love, I needed to put the power away and take it beyond those who would abuse it. Tasha was waiting for me at the door into my bedroom. "Are you really leaving?" "Yes." She looked at me, obviously trying to make up her mind about something. "I'll miss you." She hugged me, pecked me on the cheek, and left. I gathered up my backpack and filled it with what little I had, which was more than I'd thought, and I copied it to take the rest. With both of them slung over my shoulders, I pressed the button for contacting the main bridge. "Goodbye." I jumped. The last thing I wanted to do was have girls begging me not to go, so I went before they could. Where the city had been only a few short months ago, there was only grass. 60. I wandered the area for weeks, seeking any sign there'd ever been a civilization here. There was nothing. It wasn't a case of the civilization having been destroyed or removed. There were no ruins, no signs of mining, quarrying for stone, or any other of the things people did when they built a city. It had never been. And yet I remembered everything about it. I stood where my bedroom in the share house had been. I used my sight to peer downwards, seeking buried foundations or anything at all. Nothing. I spent days sending my sight all around the world, seeking any signs of people at all. Nothing. Forced with making a choice about what to do, instead of deciding to make a house and getting on with living, I decided to try and find where my original home had been. And to my amazement, I found it. The king's castle was a ruin, and buried meters down, but it was there. It took a while, but I found the foundations of the house I grew up in, and the village around it. There wasn't much left. I carefully excavated the ruins. It wasn't until I'd finished I realized it wasn't underwater. The oceans hadn't risen, and the site of my second life was a plateau a little way inland. I wondered if the advanced society had caused the rising of the seas as part of its own development. I'd never know now. I cast my eyes around the ruins. This was my home. Was. And still was. Only now, I was truly alone. I used my magic to rebuild my parents' house and the furniture it had had. I created a power generator and used it to recharge my pad and tablet whenever I needed to, so I could keep reading my books and keep looking at the images I had stored. I mixed what I wanted from three levels of life. I hunted the local game with magic-created weapons and used magic to plant crops to keep my diet balanced. My fourth life had begun, and I learned how to live all over again. I'm leaving this record here, to be found if anyone ever comes here again. I still have no idea what happened to the advanced civilization I lived amongst only a few months ago, or even why it vanished. But I can't help thinking it must have been something I did, or didn't do. Somehow, yesterday's space mage in the future changed the past. In all likelihood, as you read this, I'm long dead now. I accepted this when I came back here, expected it, at times, to be a lonely existence, but I think it will be a good life. I may or may not update this record. Perhaps not. What happens to me now isn't really relevant. I'll leave it to you to be the judge of if what I did was good or bad, right or wrong. In the end, I don't think it matters. Things were, things are, and things happen. We make choices, and we live with them. I lived with mine. Thorn, last survivor of a planet which was never named. This concludes Yesterday's Space Mage by Timothy Ellis, narrated by Kevin T. Collins. Copyright 2017-2018 by Timothy Ellis. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Timothy Ellis and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.